Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. And thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, you quicken us. Lord, make the word real and powerful to work in our minds and our hearts. That, Lord, we may be able to hear from you. That, Lord, we may be able to appropriate the things that you have done for us. That we may be able, Lord, to connect with you so that we can see clearly how to put those things to work, Lord. We are at war. That, Lord, we may learn to fight the good fight of faith, to overcome, Lord, all the works that the enemy is doing around us in these days. And we just give you praise and thanks and honor, Lord, to you, because we know, Lord, that it is not by might or by power. It is by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So we continue from last week, and going to be slower today. Sometime, you know, the anointing comes on you, and you want to do things, and you want to squeeze everything in just no time, and that doesn't work. So today we are going to take our time, and we're going to start, you know, looking at the fact that the war that we are in is real. It's not a game. It's a powerful things going on, and in these times, it's more than has ever been before. And this is because the time we are in. We have to realize the condition of people that are not born again are in today. You see, after man separated from God, his fellowship was broken there. Okay. And so he inherited all the characteristics of the enemy. And the basic one was rebellion. You see, this is the problem. They are in rebellion against God and his principles. If you look around the world, this is just what is being manifested more and more. Even the kind of appearance of religion is being removed. The word says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And definitely, you know, the religious church is being shaken. And it's going to be just come and crumbling down. You see, only the one that is within the power of the Holy Spirit, within the power of God operating and making, you know, empowering people to overcome, is going to stand against the pressure and against the infiltration that the enemy has done on it. So we, you know, the man initially had dominion over the earth. There is absolutely no dominion anymore. There is just destruction. There is no power in the people. They are just tossed around with the forces of darkness in these days. And there is more and more that rebellion and sense of, you know, rejecting all God's values and principles. So the thing is, you know, that people are easily influenced by demonic forces because their nature is that, the same as Satan, the religious, tendency to reject the values and the principle of God. And the whole world system is generated by that kind of mentality. And it cannot be redeemed. The only way that the world is going to be, the world system is going to be redeemed is when Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom. Amen. See, that's the only solution. There is no solution otherwise in the world. There cannot be. Things are going to get worse and worse. And we cannot, ignore that, and we have to understand the part we play in this, because we are not under the same influences, or we should not be under the same influences. We are in the other side. We are on the side of God. We are fighting against these things. But we have to remember that if we end up fighting it in the flesh, we are not going to win, because that's not the ground in which we can overcome. Has to be done in the Spirit. Has to be done by the power of God. Has to be done by spiritual means, by spiritual weapons, not physical weapons. And we have to understand the role that we have to play and how we are going to play this fight. Jesus came to restore man's dominion when he came on earth. And he died and was crucified and was resurrected. You know, he that has no sin in him has been able to overcome the devil. And he's been a proof of that. You know, if you go and just, first John 3:8 says very clearly, who is sins is of the devil. But for the devil sinned from the beginning. Actually, from even before our beginning, our man beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, that was his job. Do you think he achieved what he wanted to do? He did. But there is a part that needs to be done yet. And this is up to us. All right? See, Jesus was tempted just exactly the same way as Adam was tempted. But he overcame the temptation and he pushed Satan in his place without allowing him to be influenced by his deception. You know, if you think, and the Lord was showing me this, actually, Adam was advantaged with respect to Jesus, because he was created perfect. He was created mature. He was created with internal knowledge that wasn't available in the same way to Jesus. Because Jesus had to grow like we grow, had to grow by studying the Word and going to the Word and by receiving it by His Spirit. Now, he was without sin, the same as Adam was. But he had to grow like we grow. And as he grew, he got understanding, and so his position was not because he had the whole knowledge inside himself already. Because the Bible clearly says that he renounced the characteristics in Philippians chapter 2 of God. And he became a man. Adam was not just a man. He was a son of God. Now, Jesus was the Son of God too, because he didn't have human DNA. He was God's DNA. He was created by, he was the Son of God. All right? The point is, what I'm making is, he overcame because Satan had nothing on him. And he didn't fool around like Adam did with the presence of evil around him. He took a position. He stood for what was the truth and for God. And so when Satan came to tempt him, he knew exactly what he was doing and he knew how to push him off. Amen. Hallelujah. And he was an example for us so that we can learn from him what to do. You know, he was tempted, but he overcame Satan. And so he had really undone what Adam had done. You know, the word says, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, he having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So he was disarmed. He disarmed the enemy. I mean, you know, when Jesus overcame, he stripped the authority that Satan had received from Adam to be the ruler of the world and pass it back to us. That was his purpose. Us, the people that are born again, are believers. The one that believed in what he did. Okay? And we must receive it by faith. That authority. The devil is disarmed, stripped his power, stripped his armor, stripped his ability, stripped his authority that Adam had given him. Hallelujah. Can you say, devil?
Devil.
You are disarmed.
You are disarmed.
You see, we had to state our position. And we had to state it openly. Jesus made a show of them openly, publicly. We are position has to be a public position to be effective. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in Romans 5:19 says very clearly, for by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man obedience, hallelujah, many will be made righteous. So, are you made righteous?
Yes.
Are you righteous today?
Yes.
See, if you are righteous, it's not because of what you have done, it's because of what he has done.
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, righteous means you're in good standing with God.
Amen.
See, that's a statement. That's a declaration. That's a statement that we had to make for ourselves. The position we had to take. Let's just say it together. I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Because
I believe
that what Jesus did
is enough
to make me righteous. In good standing with God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You see that there are some implications of that. Okay. So now what? That's the point, you know. I mean, it's just not a question of making a statement like that. There is more to do. There is more. See, we have a mandate. We have a responsibility as a result of what he has done for us. And he said very clearly, you know, that the authority that he had, he has passed on to us. You know, in Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came to and said to them, you know, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. To go and go therefore and make disciples of all the nation. You see, that's the thing. We had to make disciples. We don't have to make people that just go to church. We don't have to make just people that have our, you know, religion said, you know, praise Jesus. We had to make disciples because disciples are people that follow him and do what the things that he said we should do. You know, it's a question that our behavior should be different from the behavior of the world, and we should teach others to behave differently.
Amen.
You cannot be a disciple and keep doing the same thing that you did before.
Amen. Yes.
Otherwise, it's a farce. It's not real. There has to be a change taking place in us. You know, disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that is really the position in which, you know, we come to the identity of what he had done and we identify ourselves with him.
Amen.
People should start identifying themselves with him, start behaving like him, start thinking like him, start acting like him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Teaching them to observe all things. Can you say all things?
All things.
Hallelujah. Whatsoever I commanded you, and this is the good part of it. It says, and so, you know, Lord, I am with you always. And can you say always? I mean, he is with you always. See, the thing is, he's with us. I mean, he can't say we are by ourselves. He's with us. You see, his presence, His anointing, His power, His abilities are with us. But you know, those are received by faith. So we had to make sure that we actually believe what we think we believe. Hallelujah. Even unto the end of the world or the age. So you see, I mean, we need it now more than ever. Because the situation now is much more critical than it has ever been. Hallelujah. But he did it. He stripped the devil for all the authority and gave it to us. So now you have it. We have it. And we had to realize that we have it, and we had to learn to operate in it. We had to learn to exercise it. We had to learn how to work with it. Hallelujah. You know, we are part of the fight now against the kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of light, a kingdom of God that is in fight, a fighting against the kingdom of darkness. And if you are born again, you are drafted.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You are drafted. Let's say, I'm drafted.
I'm drafted.
I mean, are you?
Yes.
I mean, are you ready to fight?
Yes.
You see, it's not a question of, war is not easy. Let's face it. It's tough. It's a battle. We had to understand. You know, so we had to enforce. See, the enemy is not going to live like that. You know, you had to push him off. You had to enforce what Jesus has done on the earth. You see, you had to take, this is why there is a war. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a war. You see, there is a kingdom fighting against the other kingdom. One kingdom, you know, the kingdom of darkness is now ruling of all the people that are not born again. Okay? And the kingdom of God, of light, of love, is ruling on the people that are born again.
Amen.
And there is nothing between.
Amen.
So there is a fight there that has to take place. And that, we had to, what Jesus said just in Matthew 28 is that we had to fight our way so that we expand our kingdom. His kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
You know, often church has been too based on one aspect of the way God operates and has missed on another aspect. And he's the one that we had to exercise authority and power and ruling. And we're going to talk a bit more about that. But you see, Jesus said in Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So we have the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. I mean, what do you do with the keys of the kingdom? All right. This is the ability to come in contact and to receive and to do the things that God wants us to do. He says, and this is what you do, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So you see, the contact there is eliminated. I mean, what you do is what heaven does.
Amen.
And whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. We just have been losing the wrong thing and binding the wrong thing. We should start exercising the authority to bind the things that the enemy tried to put on the earth. And that's our responsibility. And this is the exercising the authority that Jesus acquired for us and has given us. Hello? Still there? See, but the devil strategy is still working. Okay, he's working on non-believers and he's working on believers too. And we have to understand that unfortunately, Israel doesn't have much imagination. He uses always the same method. So because he uses the same method, we know what to expect. We know that we had to work against that. You see, the way the devil works to expand his kingdom is by deception. So the first thing that we have to realize that he works by deceiving people, by making them see things that are actually not true. Deception is a lie. He's a liar from the beginning. I just finished reading that. So, and how does it work? Well, you know, the only thing they have to do is to blind the eyes, the way it says in Ephesians, to the people that are not unregenerated, people are not born again. They don't see the truth. They are fooled by the circumstances. They are fooled by the things that they see. And so they keep doing there. You know, and so, you know, and they are rebellious in the spirit. So the only thing they had to do is to keep that rebellion. See, Satan is the rebel. He rebelled against God. He rebelled against authority. And he wants people to rebel. I guess so. That's what he did. You know, 1/3 of the angels rebelled with him. And the people that are not born again are the same rebellious spirit that Adam had, and they inherited. And that rebellion is against God and against his authority. And what rebellion does is trying to demolish and try to fight against authority and try to destroy the authority that is legally there. Hallelujah. And so, for the non-born again believer, it's easy. They are rebellious against God. They just feed, ideas, deception, promises that are really not going to be kept. And so they keep rebelling against the truth. But the one that are born again, they actually uses the same way. What he does is make them see circumstances, situations, so that they start believing the situations, the circumstances, and what their eyes see instead of what God said, so that they agree with him instead of agreeing with God. This is the way it works. This is the way he works. That's the way he tricks them too, to actually rebel against God, because they submit to what they see instead of submitting what God said. So we should understand that we operate and are operating in a spiritual realm. That the physical realm is not the real thing. Oh, it's real, okay. But is not the things that is true. There is a reality behind that. That is the things that we have to ask, understand and receive. See, how many today, even believers, are under demonic attack in some way, in some area? You see, I would say just about everybody. Everybody has some area in which they struggle. Because the enemy is able to put a doubt on them one way or another. And so that's the thing that you had to declare war for yourself. This is the area, you see, your own life, your own circumstances, your own what you do is where actually your fight is. These are the things that you have to overcome. Praise the Lord. You know, whatever it is, you know, health, pain, finances, family, addiction, emotions, you know, depression, whatever it is, people are affected by the things that he's doing, and he's keeping those things on them, and they are struggling to survive, even believers. This is not God's plan for us. This is not what God wants us to experience. What God wants is for us to overcome. Amen. To kick him off from that area. See, those things are really, the things that keep us unable to do the things of God and keep us some time to agree with the devil instead of agreeing with God. So he controls our life. God, Jesus came so that we can be free. That's what he did with the people when he met them in his ministry on earth. He set them free so that they could start actually following him instead of following, you know, being constrained or limited by the things that the devil put on them. How many today are confused and afraid because of what the devil is doing in their life? Far too many. So what I'm saying, you know, what I'm encouraging you is to attack back. You see, you cannot just defend yourself. There is no battle, there is no war that you can win on the defensive. The only way to win wars is to attack. Yes. Yes. God wants us to be warriors. Amen. To be fighters. To be fighting for our rights. To be fighting for the things that he has done. To implement the things. You see, it's not just a question of being nice. See, church sometimes is far too nice. You cannot be nice with the devil. You can be nice with people. You see, people get mad at other people, and that's not the way to resolve the issue because, the enemy is pushing them to do the wrong thing, but it's not them. It's the enemy. Amen. You should love them and fight the devil. Yes. See, that's why in the Old Testament, you know, they killed them all, the people that were on their side, because that was the only way. But at that time, you know, was different. We now have the power of God to operate in the Spirit. Jesus fought the enemy every time he met him.
Amen.
And pushed him back all the time he met him.
Yes,
until he left. Happened what had to happen so that we could have a victory as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know? You know, people are so afraid. Because today the world, well, you know, Jesus himself said, you know, today their heart will melt with fear. Because of the things that are happening around us. And if you see around there, if you don't know and you have the strength of God, you really don't know what to do. But what you need to do is to open your eyes. You remember what happened when Elisha was attacked by the enemy that wanted to kill him. There was a whole army. You know, they were, Israel was fighting against the enemy, these enemies, and the enemy, you know, all the time were attacking. Israel knew what they were doing. And so he said, you know, there must be a spy in our midst. And the servant said to the king, no, there is no spy. This is the prophet that they have in Israel, and he knows everything that you say in your bedroom. Hallelujah. See, this is the... And so, say, okay, well, let's go and kill him. I mean, how stupid can you be? The guy knows what you are going to say in your bedroom, and you are going to try to kill him, and you think you're going to succeed. I mean, you see, that's the stupidity of Satan. See, that's why he killed Jesus. He didn't know that he was going to be beaten and robbed from all the power and authority. Okay, but that's the way it is. So we are an advantage. But you remember, you know, Elisha was spiritually developed and he could see in the spirit world. So he wasn't afraid. But his servant was. He went out in the morning, says, and saw that all the around the city, they were surrounded by chariots and a full army. And he was scared stiff. And he went back and he says, you know, Father, you know, the whole army is here. I'm going to read what he said in response to that. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, so he answered, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hallelujah. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Hallelujah. Then the Lord opened his eyes, the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Hallelujah. See, I'm praying this morning that actually the Lord opens your eyes so that you see that there are more the one are with us than the one are with the enemy. You know, that's what we had to start understanding, that this thing should not make us fear, because we, the greater one, is inside us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, at the same time, if you are in a battle, you cannot go in battle without a strategy, without being equipped. You know, this is the thing we have to understand. And many are not equipped because they are not prepared for the battle. So, you know, instead of being afraid of what's going on, they should get ready. They should start being prepared for the battle. They should start doing things so that they can overcome and not be pushed around anymore. Hallelujah. You know, we said that, you know, the thing is simple. You know, submit to God, fight the devil, and he will flee. Yeah, I don't know, but that's it's too simple. See, all that has to be expanded, has to be explained, has to be implemented in a way that is spiritual, in a way that is the way that God showed us to do. Okay? You know, we had to realize that we had to understand. We have to get understanding. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, we have to become not ignorant of his devices. Many people, many believers even are ignorant of Satan's devices. We have to understand the way he operates so that we can be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. Many are ignorant of the way he operates because he operates through circumstances. So if we look at circumstances, we are going to be caught up by our senses, which means by our flesh, which means our spirit is going to be put on the side. We need to allow our spirit to have predominance over us. Amen. Our spirit to be ruling us, not the things we see, the things we feel, the things we touch, with the things we hear. You know, if you read the newspaper and the news on the TV all the time, you have to go on to be depressed. There is no way out.
That's right.
And there are a bunch of lies anyway. So we had to take a position so that we can actually stand on what we believe. So that we are not influenced anymore by the world around us. But you know, you're not going to be able to do that if you are exposed and you accept what's going on and you are just there. You see, the same way as Satan did. You know, this is so, with Adam did with Satan. You know, he accepted him to be around there and talk with him. You can't talk with demonic power operating around you and in the people around you. Hello? You can't win that way. You had to separate yourself.
Amen.
You had to take a position. You had to stand for what the Word of God says. You had to fellowship. Instead of being exposed to them, be exposed to God.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah.
This is where you get your strength. This is where you get you change the position within yourself. This is the way you get the victory. You cannot win the other way. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So you had to become, receive, you know, not be ignorant. That means be able to see through what is going on around your face. Okay? Remember, the way it works is by exposure. You stay in an environment in which there is sin, you are going to sin. Period. You start being tolerant after a while because there is no other way to do it. You start losing the fear of God because it's a way that everybody is doing it. It's okay. And then you end up embracing it. This is such an important understanding, the process of infiltration that the enemy uses to work on you and to demolish your ability to defend yourself. So if you just there say, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, have a good time, I'm going to go in church on Sunday, and it's not going to work. Church on Sunday doesn't work. Church on Sunday has to be just the thing to keep you going until next week. It doesn't work. You had to work during the week. You had to fellowship with God during the week. You had to go to the Word of God during the week so that we are always charged up.
Amen.
If you are not charged up, you are deflated. Because that's what the world, what Satan tries to do. He is trying to weaken you. So the thing is, you know, you cannot have a defensive strategy against the wiles of the enemy. You had to have an offensive strategy, an attacking strategy, a militant strategy. See, that's why Matthew 11:12 said it very clearly. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven will suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, the problem is that the word, the way they are used, are not really helpful because it's a translation that today doesn't help us. She doesn't suffer. It's not a question. See, I see people interpreting the scriptures. Oh, well, you know, the kingdom of God is suffer violence, so it's going to is decrease in power. No, that's poor translation. I give you two translations for two Greek scholars that translated the things properly in the Bible. A parable by West that says, indeed, from the days of John the Baptist until this moment, the kingdom of heaven is being taken by storm, and the strong and forceful one claims it for themselves eagerly. Another one from Williams, another Greek scholar. Indeed, from the days of John the Baptist till this moment, the kingdom of heaven is being taken by storm. You see, we are taking it by storm, not the other way around. And the strong and forceful one claim it for themselves eagerly. I mean, that shows exactly what that verse means. We had to claim it eagerly. We had to claim it by force. We had to push our way through, and we had to overcome.
Amen.
See, Jesus at the end says, let the, you know, talks about in Revelation, talk about the overcomers. So that means that there is something that we had to overcome. Hello? See, what we had to understand, that we believers cannot be wimps. We had to be courageous. What does it say to Joshua, Jesus, God? Be very courageous. Be strong. You know, so we cannot be intimidated by the enemy. See, through the show and the stuff that the enemy tries to put up on us. Well, we should intimidate the enemy. You see, that's when he's going to get off our case. See, our way has to be intimidation the way he does it with us. And we have to do it violently because otherwise he's not going to be intimidated. See, this is why, you know, the Bible talks so much about God, you know, being a warrior. I mean, it talks about God being love, but also talks about another aspect of God, that he is a man of war. That's the way it's called there. If you see in the Bible, you know, many times, men of war, or men of valor, or men of, there was another word there that was used. You know, they were always represented, you know, there are so many times. I mean, hundreds of times are mentioned in the Bible. There is a reason for that, don't you think? But he expects us to be strong. He expects us to have courage. He expects us to be brave in the fight that we are in. Why? Because we need to be brave. Otherwise, we become defeated. Hallelujah. See, in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said about the church, I will build my church. It's Jesus building his church. And the gate of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. That means, you know, that doesn't mean simply that the gates of hell, I mean, the things that the kingdom of God is going to be able to break through, the walls, the resistance, the gates of hell, and the resistance of the kingdom of darkness. So we shouldn't be defeated and retreating. We should be able to be moving forward and breaking through. Now, this is not going to be done by the church is not built by him. Is the church that he builds is going to be able to do that. Why? Because it's a far force for church, because it's a militant church, because the church is ready to fight. Amen. On the spiritual level. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, just after that, you know, he said the scripture I read before, you know, the gate of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind, loose in earth is loose in heaven. I mean, to me, that sounds victory.
Amen.
Yes. Amen? Amen. It doesn't seem to me that is, you know, that means what you are going to do, I'm going to make sure that it's taking place. Now, you have to locate your battle. You have to locate where your battle is. You know, the battlefield is your mind. This is where you fight. Okay? But that's not the place that you have to win. The place you have to win is the territory that you have to conquer. See, the battle is not the essential thing. You have to get into a territory and take it over. This is what the dominion that you have to exercise involves. And the territory is the areas in which you are struggling. Are you following me? See, there are things, the territory is what you take dominion over. So if you are sick, that's the territory you have to overcome and you have to, you know, take authority over. If your family is crumbling down, that's a place where you have to take over and to establish your dominion.
Amen.
Not his dominion. Because he wants to destroy families. Amen. Look at what's happening. There is not even a respect for family anymore. Okay. If your finances are not, you know, you're struggling with, he wants to destroy your finances. And you have to fight the battle in that field. Depending, you know, different people. Sometimes you have many fields to work against it. But you have to understand that what you have to do is you have to subjugate the enemy in the areas that he is taking over. He has taken over. You have to exercise your authority and take dominion of the promise, with the promises, over the promises, with the promises of God in those areas, because that's what God said, and he has no right, no authority to be there anymore. But you had to know that, you had to be tough about it, you had to tell him in his face, and you had to intimidate him, because he cannot stay there, because he doesn't have the authority. See, but you have to believe that he doesn't have the authority, because, and he's going to see the way you react. The way you're going to see, the way you see, he doesn't know what you think. Okay? He doesn't know what you think. He looks at you and see the way you react. So if you put circumstances around you and you get all worked up, he says, I got you. You know, if you pray, say, in Jesus' name, go. And you say, oh, goodbye. Bye-bye. But if you're there still, let's pray some more. Let's pray, let's try to, you know, that shows him that you haven't really believed what you're saying. Are you following me?
Yes.
So you have to fight the territory, take back the territory that should be yours.
Yes.
Now. See, that's why the way resist the devil is not, doesn't reflect that. You know, it's really oppose the devil. You push him off from your territory, from your back, the backyard, from your house. And, you know, this is the thing that you had to overcome. See, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, that's that at the end. You know, these were the overcomers. The blood of the Lamb. That's, you know, the thing is, you see, what they were looking at weren't the circumstances, but was what Jesus did. They were looking at the blood of the Lamb. He conquered through that. And the word of their testimony. That means he did it. And they spoke it out. They said it. You see, you have to speak it out. You have to actually say it. You have to believe what you say. Because you look at the blood of the Jesus and what he went through. And what he went through is much more than what you are going through now.
Amen.
He took all of them on himself. He took all the sin, all the problems, all the pain, all the sickness, all everything that is of the work of the devil. He took it on himself to be able to set you free. And now you have to look at what he did and say, that's enough.
Yes.
And you go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so, but you speak it out. You see, you have to speak it out. I have the victory. He had the victory, and the victory is mine.
Yes.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, I don't have the time to go through this, but I'm going to do next week. See, you have to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You know, Hebrews 12:2. Speak it out. Speak to the mountains. Speak to the things that have to go. Speak to, you know, take over your territory with your word. Proclaim victory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And don't give up. Don't give up. It doesn't work immediately. Don't give up anything. You just keep pushing. Hallelujah. You know, there is a parable, the parable of 10 minas. And I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm going to talk next time. And this is really a parable about the end time. Okay? And one of the things that's said there about I just read the verse, yeah. Okay. A certain nobleman, Luke 19:12. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. Who is this guy? Jesus. Hello? All right. And it says, so he called them 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Actually, the King James has a better translation. It's occupy. Until I come. See, when there's a territory, you just do business and you occupy, you take over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. So we need to occupy until he comes. We don't need to just let the other one, the enemy, take over our territory.
Right.
What God has given us, His promises, are ours. And we are not going to let the enemy take them away from us. Hello? But you know, you have to be aggressive. You have to be militant. You have to not give up. You have to look at Jesus, what He has done by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's actually make a declaration or a confession about that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For what you have done
for that,
for us.
We receive it.
We stand
in victory
today
and
proclaim
that your victory
is our
victory.
And we give
a testimony
of our
victory
by your power,
by your
authority.
The enemy
has to go
in your name,
in Jesus'
name.
And we thank you
today.
Because today
we
take
our
victory
in your name.
Amen
and
amen. Praise the Lord.